If you have your Bibles with you, please, will you turn to Psalm 14, please? Psalm 14. Verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he may divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Lastly, in the book of Samuel, please. Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 31. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, Rent your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And the king David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, So do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or else, till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word this evening. If you were paying attention to the scripture readings that I read to you, there is one word that occurs in every one of those stories that we have read. thou fool. It's something that one needs to be very careful about when you call another person a fool, because Scripture tells us that. But this evening I want to bring before you these three particular scriptures and point out to you why we need to be wise and not a fool. Psalm 14, as some commentators tell us, was written by David the psalmist. And yet of all, we turn over a few pages and read Psalm 53, and we read exactly the same words in that particular passage of Scripture. Some people tell us that these psalms are twinned, and although David is down, has to be written as Psalm 14, some people and some commentators believe that Hezekiah is responsible for Psalm 53. But both of them are using these words to express what they believe is happening in their day. Psalm 14 is a personal psalm. Psalm 53 is a private psalm. Psalm 14 is pragmatic, whereas Psalm 53 is prophetic. Psalm 14 is about the past. Psalm 53 is about the future. And David, as he writes this psalm, he's talking about the cruel environment and the treatment that he has received from the people who live around him. And he realizes that the universal corruption that's going on in the human race, and he's showing in the opening verses the depravity of man and how far they have got away from God. Total depravity doesn't mean that men are murderers or sex perverts. It just means that men are at their worst can be very unkind and very unthoughtful. It also means that not all men are that type of people. Some can show kindness and generosity. But what the Bible is saying here is that the best of men are tainted with sin. Sin, as we know, is from children's ages something like leprosy. A leper might look well on the outside, but yet of all, with inside his body, the disease works away until it destroys him. And Paul, when he was writing, said that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin not only affects individual people, sin affects society. And surely today, as we look around us in the world in which we live, we can see that this is surely the situation today. This once Great Britain is no longer great. Some say that in Queen Victoria's day and her reign, it was a Great Britain. Great because people read God's word, people lived by God's word, and they respected it and adhered to it. But we live in a country today, in the British Isles, where people have turned their back on God. People have come to their own conclusions, and many of them are like what we read in the Bible today. They have no time for God. They have no thought for God. You know, the Bible tells me this, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the way that we live our lives in the light of God, that one day God will judge us because of the way we have lived. We live in a country where many use the same words as they used in David's day. There is no God. There is more important things than God. I come from a part of Belfast where sin has certainly destroyed many lives. Not only has it destroyed lives, but it has also destroyed homes and families. The community in which we are living is a community that is much ripped apart by sin and those people who live in it. And certainly sin is like that cancer that we often hear about today. It has taken hold of so many people's lives and bodies that they have been completely taken over. And certainly as I look around me in the area where I live, I can remember the words of God in the Bible which says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Do you remember that in Noah's day, when Noah was told to build the ark, that people laughed at Noah? People maybe made fun of Noah. They scorned him, building a boat away from anywhere where there was water, building a boat that they thought would never float. And yet when the time came, when God opened up the deeps and God sent down the rain, we find that those people who abused him began to ask the question, was Noah really right in what he said? But alas, I am convinced that people of today are just the same as what it will be in Noah's day. There will be people who will find out too late that God's saving power and God's grace is for them today. But you might say this evening, I am not like those people. I live on the clean side. I don't do anybody any harm. I attend my church. I pay into my church. You might do all these things, friends, but the Bible says that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So therefore, there is sin in every one of our lives. We have been teaching the children at home the Ten Commandments. And one of the things I have been trying to get over to the children is simply this, that as far as God's commandment was concerned, to break one, you broke them all. And that's what sin is today, my friend. Sin is being disobedient to God's word, of neglecting what God is telling us, and allowing Satan to control our lives. The psalmist says, the fool, the person who does not take time to think this thing through. Friend, this evening, you might be one of those people, you have never taken a few moments to think of where you're going to spend eternity. One of the things that I often say about the prodigal son, you remember as he sat in that field that day with the swine, the Bible says this, that he began to think. He began to turn over in his mind the home that he had left, how much the father had, the plenteous food that there was, the beautiful home, the comforts, everything that he had left, and he walked away and left it. And he took time that day to think, and he realized of what he was losing out on. And oh, this evening, my friend, if you would only take a few moments tonight to think of where you will spend eternity. Our second reading this evening in Luke chapter 12 speaks here of a man that was called a fool by God. This person lived his life, and if you read the scripture, you will find that quite often there are two words that come to the fore of this particular story. The words are I and my. This man was caught up with his possessions. He thought that he would live forever. He forgot who holds the breath in his body, and he turned his back on God. The God who sent the rain to water the seed, the God who sent the sun to make the seed to grow, and all that he had was because God had allowed it to happen. And yet of all, this man was only thinking of himself. He realized, or he didn't realize, that there would come a day whenever he would leave all of this behind him. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. That's an appointment that we have to keep. It's an appointment that you or I cannot break. It is made by God, and one day it will come, sooner or later. I have a little cutout here that I took from a passage that I was reading not so long ago, and this is what it says. God seldom calls someone a fool. But here was a man who richly deserved that title. He foolishly thought that temporal wealth would satisfy his eternal soul. It doesn't. He foolishly thought he had years to live. He didn't. He foolishly labored for time and this life, giving no thought of God or eternity. He perished. Foolish pranks are the order of today, but too many people are being foolish with their lives. What would be God's assessment of you? This great man's harvest didn't go away. I don't know, but maybe somebody else would have taken over from it and built those bigger barns. But one thing I do know was that this man was not around to see that harvest gathered in. Because we read in the Word of God that God said that night to him, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall these things be?" The man was a fool because he thought all he needed was his earthly possessions. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, we read the story of another person, the story of Abner. I didn't read all the story because time would not permit. But we know from God's word that there was strife between the house of David and Saul. Abner had thrown his weight behind Saul, and Joab, Abishai, and Asahel had given their allegiance to King David. And during one of the days of the battle, Asahel had seen Abner making his escape, and he followed him until Abner took him to the one side, and with his sword he smote him under the fifth rib. The Bible says, thus robbing him of his life. When news came back to the camp of what had happened and what Abner had done, Joab vowed that he would not rest until he avenged his brother's death. Sometime later, as we read in the Word of God, Abner came to see King David. He came when Joab was away out fighting with his men. And the Bible tells me in verses 21, 22, and 23 that David said to Abner on several occasions, "Go in peace." His way of escape had been made possible. When Joab returned, he found out what had happened, and so he set out to pursue Abner. And we read from the Word of God that he caught up with Abner just as he was about to enter the city of Hebron, the city of refuge. Inside that gate, nobody could touch him. Just one more step and he would be out of all the trouble and into the safety of that city. But Abner listened to that still small voice. Abner listened to the voice of that which called him from the other side of the gate. And he stayed outside it until Joab, as we read in the scripture, took him to the one side, and with his sword he smote him under the fifth rib, thus taking his life from him. Only one step and he would have been in safety. His way of escape had been made possible. And I wonder this evening, as you listen to my voice, has there ever been a time in your life whenever that still small voice has spoken to you? I can remember many occasions when my Sunday school teacher would have been telling me of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for me, that God would have spoken to me. I remember on several occasions in my own home when my mother and father would have prayed with us each night, hopping into bed and God speaking to me, "You need to be saved. If you ever want to get to heaven, if you ever want to be with your mother and father, you need to trust Jesus Christ." I wonder if you've heard that voice. I wonder how many times you have spurned that voice. Yes, you know that you need to be saved, but maybe some other time, some other place. But listen, my friends, let me say, this is what God says. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." There may come a day when that still small voice will cease to speak, and you will be lost in a lost eternity. But you know, that day, as we have read from the Word of God, as David followed that funeral procession out to the grave, and as he stood there and looked down into Mother Earth, we can hear the words that David said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in fetters. Abner, your way of escape was made possible for you, but you didn't listen." In other words, you listened to that still small voice and rejected your way of escape. And yet of all, we can read in verse 37 that this is what it says. "For all the people of Israel knew that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner." You know, as we read those verses, I think of what it says in Peter, when Peter wrote in his word that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come unto him for repentance. My friend, this evening, it's not God's wish that anyone in this building should go into a lost eternity. It's not God's will that anybody should find themselves lost in hell, because he has made the way of escape possible. This brings me to two very important facts this evening. Sinner friend in our meeting, you know that because of your sin, you have been separated from God. That's what Isaiah tells us in 59 and verse 2. We turn to the Gospel of Luke, and we find there that in chapter 16, you remember the story of the man who was rich and the beggar who sat at his gate. Remember what God said to that man? "Between you and us, there is a great gulf fixed." My friend, it's better to try and bridge that gap in time, because in eternity, there will be no more way of getting through to God. You will be separated from God. You will be separated from all those who love him, and there will be a great gulf fixed between you and God. But there's something more important in that story that we read, and this is what it says. That this man prayed to God, and God said to him, "There is never going to be another chance. Between you and me, there is a great gulf. That gulf cannot be crossed again, because you have made your choice. You have gone to a lost eternity." I wonder this evening, friend, are you going to listen to the devil once again? Are you going to get up this evening and leave the seat where you're sitting and walk out this evening without Jesus Christ? The second fact is this, that it was not of the king's order that Abner should die. And it's not for God that you should die either without Jesus Christ. God, as I have already said, is not willing that any should perish. And this evening, you can come in simple repentance and bow your knee and ask the Lord to forgive you. It's quite clear this evening that God is willing to save. God has extended his day of grace to allow us another gospel meeting this evening, to warn us again that to die without Christ will mean a lost eternity. God has made your way of escape possible through the death of his beloved son. He sent him into this world. He went to that cross on Calvary, and there he shed his precious blood that you and I might know our sins forgiven. This evening he says very simply, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I have paid the price. I have made your way of escape possible. Tonight, you could start on a new road that leads to heaven, a new road that will bring you satisfaction in Jesus Christ." Friend, tonight, I just wonder, can you realize that this might be your last opportunity to settle the sins question? Wouldn't it be tragic if the elders of this church were called upon inside the next few weeks to stand before your grave and to look down into your grave and say the same as David said of Abner, "They died as a fool dieth. Your way of escape was made possible, but you refused it." Tonight, thy soul may be required of thee. Tonight, God might step into your life and take the breath from your body. If he does that tonight, my friend, where will you spend eternity? Can this same title be written over you this evening? I was written over these three men. Thou fool. Thou fool. I trust this evening that you will take the time just to think as to where you're going to spend eternity. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it would be my plea this evening that you will settle the sin question tonight. Acknowledge that you're a sinner in the sight of God. That you're in need of God's salvation. To ask God to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and to help you to live day by day for him. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. At Calvary's cross, that's where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, I trust that you'll come this evening and accept Christ as your Savior and go home tonight rejoicing in God's salvation.